Hail, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest this evening. And for the first hour, it's going to be Bob Chapman, and we're going to be talking about what's happening financially. We're going to be talking about the coming dictatorship in America. And I was just telling Bob before we went on the air, you know, they're monitoring everything we do. They've been doing this for a long time through Project Echelon, through the National Security Agency. And if you want to get information on that, just go up on the Internet and type in Echelon, E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N. They've been listening to your telephone calls long before 911. This whole idea of the Patriot Act was simply to justify what they'd already been doing for 20 years. And then, of course, they've been reading your emails and reading your faxes. They're collecting dossiers on everybody through the DARPA, through the military, through the Office of Homeland Security, through a group that, of course, is giving a color code to everybody who travels on airplanes. Everybody is getting a rating from the government. And now, of course, they can listen to your conversations if you have a cell phone. Not that we're talking about, of course, when you're talking on your cell phone, because they monitor those. But if you just have the cell phone in the room, even turned off, they have a means of turning that on. And this was recently brought up in a suit that was actually filed by a couple of criminals. And the FBI used the information they got because there was a cell phone in the room, and they could tune into the conversation even though the cell phone wasn't on. And the judge felt that that was perfectly all right. In the latest forecaster that Bob Chapman puts out, he talks about how some of the computers have microphones in them, not all of them, but certain of them do. And that way, of course, since your computer is hooked up to the telephone, even though that you're certainly, you know, not to, they're using your computer, they can listen to what you are saying in your office. And this sort of thing really does go on. You think that those satellites up in the sky to spy on the Russians? No, they're the spy on you. We finance communism since its inception. You haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the books we carry by Professor Sutton on Wall Street and the rise of Hitler, or the best enemies money could buy, or who's funding communist China today? Why, we are. Pick up the Wall Street Journal and read it regularly with that thought in mind. You realize we're funding communist China to the tune of billions and hundreds of billions of dollars we poured in there through one excuse or another. We always have an excuse for funding the enemy. Or maybe creating an enemy, because you need an enemy so you can rally the people behind the authorities. After all, the authorities are protect us from the evil Osama bin Laden, or the evil communists, or... Well, you don't want to hear me, right? You really want to hear our special guest tonight named Bob Chapman. Bob, how are you doing tonight?
I called in to listen to the ranter.
Anyway, of course, these are exciting times, is what you've been predicting for so long.
Very, very exciting and terrible.
Well, why don't you explain to our listeners really what's happening, the implications of the falling dollar, what that's going to do to the carry trade, what that's going to do to the hedge funds and the ventures, and you give us your impression.
Well, I got to make one comment. You know, I was in counterintelligence, and I got to refer to what you were just talking about. Is that the music?
Yeah, that's the music, right. Don't you worry. I'll tell you when to be quiet.
All right.
Well, I guess why don't we just wait here until we get them through this break. But Bob, of course, was with counterintelligence for many years. He's got a lot of contacts, great deal of information, so important that every American understands what's really going on. Go right ahead, Bob.
Our government agencies, they have been copying information on all electronic devices since 1985. And so that's over 20 years. And so this revelation that Americans are being eavesdropped upon without a warrant is just a justification to try to make it legal now that they've been doing it for so many years.
And, of course, they're using the threat of terrorism, which they have created and exaggerated, to justify making legal what they've been doing illegally for so long.
Well, I knew a banker from the 1950s in Zurich. And in 1985, I had dinner with him in Zurich. And he told me that the bank which he owned, they were going to sell it. And I said, do you really want to do that? And he said, no. He said that the Swiss government has told me that I must sell this bank to the United States government. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, what they're going to do is use it to track down everybody's wire transfers. And he told me how they had already put the equipment in and floors other than the floors that the bank itself was on, and how they would have people working in behalf of the United States government 24/7, seeing who's shipping money around the world. And of course that's illegal
to
do that, but they did it anyway.
Sure.
And I know that NSA, who I work for, has been doing this with communications for that long as well, such as all telephone calls, faxes, even radio printer, which they're really good at, and all of those other sophisticated things. And in these latter days, the last 20 years, they've been doing most of it by satellite. And so the dossiers that they have, and that they continue to build, as you pointed out, with microphones within cell phones. They also have them within computers, too.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. He worked for the NSA. He worked in counterintelligence for many years. And he was simply confirming what I'd said, that at least since 1985, they've been violating the law. They've been spying on the American citizens, reading their faxes, reading their emails, listening in their phone calls, and it's all done by computers, of course, and building dossiers on all American citizens, checking your financial transfers, getting all the information they can on you and everything you have. They have dossiers on literally every American citizen. Now, it's against the law. Congress had told them not to do it. But you see, these people are above the law. Because, of course, they answer to a different force that really runs this government from behind the scenes. Certainly not our duly elected representatives, but what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. So pick up the story up there, Bob.
Well, I think that you had referred to the dollar and what's going on in the investment world. On the 14th and 15th of this month, for those of you who don't know, there will be a meeting in Beijing with Chinese authorities, and I'm sure with the politicians who are involved and also the banking. And our Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, who really represents the interest of Wall Street via Goldman Sachs, he is leading the group, which includes the chairman of the Federal Reserve, which incidentally is a private corporation, and they have an entourage of professional bureaucrats and appointees who they're going to go over, and that's going to try to get the Chinese to raise the value of their yuan, their currency. And I think that perhaps they may be and it's possible that the U.S. government may be deliberately driving the dollar down. On the other hand, the dollar may be being driven down by those who believe, as I do, that they are going to get nowhere in China. China might say, well, we're going to continue to bring, you know, revalue the yuan on a slow basis, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think they can accept that anymore, because the Chinese, through sheer brilliance, have been dancing U.S. government around for the last 5 years. And there was legislation in the Senate to bring tariffs against China of 27.5%. That Sherman-Graham bill was pulled out of the hopper several months ago. And so that could be an anticipation by others besides myself that nothing's going to happen. The Chinese have millions of people. They got to get them employed or they'll have a revolution. They are set a course of 10% growth in order to keep people busy, and et cetera. And they can't stop. It's too late. If they were going to revalue the yuan, they should have done it before. They're trapped. And their banking system is a mess. I think it is much like the banking system of Japan, perhaps in 1993-4, when they ran up about $130 billion in debt. Excuse me, $1.3 trillion in debt. And they paid it down to about $200 to $250 billion. They're still working on it after all those years. And they're still in a depression. But anyway, that's why I think there's pressure on the dollar. And I think they're going to get absolutely nowhere with the Chinese. And that's going to set off a whole string of things. And one of which is there will be punitive tariff legislation. Now, America, before it became a country, was subject to tariffs for goods coming in and out of the United States. At that time, the colonies run by the British. And, of course, you know, they had the Boston Tea Party because of the tariffs that they put on tea. It was a tea tax stamp. And that's what started the revolution for all intents and purposes. And so, anyway, it was the action of the original founders and the people who ran the first American government to continue to use tariffs, and we always have, because we've always had the problem of other nations having slave labor. And in those days, it was real slave labor. I mean, there was a guy standing there with a whip, and today it's a little more subtle. And so that's what really was part of what made America great, tariffs. And so I think we're going to get tariffs. And in this case, tariffs are good. The problem is, why did it just hit China? Everybody else is doing it too. I mean, the euro is being subsidized by the central banks in Europe. Every country in the world is in their own currency market. They're all manipulating.
But don't you want us to think, Bob, that the people, the elitists, really, of course, really want to lower our living standards. They really, of course, want to raise the living standards throughout the world at the expense of the American workers, and they've said so as much in the Earth Charter. And they even Bernanke, I saw something he said the other day saying, oh, globalism is wonderful. It's going to raise living standards throughout the world. He didn't mention that he is supposed to protect the dollar and to protect us. By raising living standards throughout the world, you're going to have to lower living standards in America, United States. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, absolutely, and that's what free trade and globalization is all about.
And
that's to ship out the jobs that can be done elsewhere more cheaply so that transnational elitist corporations can make more money. And at the same time, it rips apart the American economy, which is being done deliberately, and that's in order to bring about one world government. And they're doing the same thing in Canada and Europe as well.
My thought is, and I'd like your thought on this, that one of the things is that they can destroy the value of the dollar. If they can, of course, then they can, of course, impoverish our people and the people who have pension funds and annuities and bonds and certainly CDs and anything tied to the dollar will be impoverished. And then, of course, they can take us into the new currency, was the Amero. And apparently, there are people who are already talking about, you know, what we've got to do is have a common currency for North America, the Amero. This is that's the name that's been given by Robert Pastor, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and certainly one of the key architects, along with David Rockefeller, of this whole idea of uniting the Northern Hemisphere. Do you think that they are going to intentionally simply destroy the value of the dollar and impoverish our people?
Absolutely. And it's hard for people. And these are people from all walks of life, people who are wealthy, people who are poor. They don't understand. And when you tell them these things, they say, I can't believe that. I mean, I had a conversation, as I told you earlier, with two professionals in a foreign country recently. And I told them what was going on in their country. And their mouths were agape. They've never heard anything like that before. And I explained it to them, and they said, well, maybe you are right, and I'm going to talk to them further on it. But the point is that this is so evil and so diabolical that the normal, decent human mind cannot comprehend that it's possible or that somebody will do that. And that's what we're fighting.
And, of course, we got them listening to our program that understand there is organized evil out there, and we'd even tell them who's involved and, of course, how they can document the fact there really are people out there who actually worship Satan and Lucifer. They're, of course, really one and the same. But, of course, they are all working towards this idea of destruction of America and, of course, the establishment of this one world government and new world religion. And we see these signs of that all the time. The constant attack on Christianity and crosses, nativity scenes, and do away saying Merry Christmas in the stores and things like that. An intense hatred of Christianity, and the Christians just shake their heads and go blithely along. They don't understand. There is a...
No.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm going to bring something into this conversation that I discussed in the letter that went out on Saturday. And that is, the previous Pope had as an advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, as you know, he's one of the first-tier thinkers for the Illuminists.
Right,
he's an Illuminist himself. And with the new Pope, they had somebody new. Well, lo and behold, who do they choose? Who did the Vatican ask for? Henry Kissinger. Now, he's in the same, at the same level in the Illuminati as Brzezinski is. And they're probably two of their foremost thinkers. And you don't know this in the United States, but I lived in Europe. I speak several languages. And I actually saw newspapers with Kissinger's picture on the front page saying, he's coming back, hide your children. This was in an Osservatore Romano, which is the mouthpiece for the Catholic Church in Rome. And I was there when it happened. Now, why did they have that picture there? Why did they say, hide your children? Because he's coming back. Because he's a bisexual pedophile. Now, the Pope knows this. So why would he have somebody like this person as an advisor? I mean, it's so sickening, it's beyond belief. And everybody knows in Europe what he is. They don't know in America because the media has not allowed it to be published.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. This is Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Bob has been talking a little bit about Henry Kissinger. We have a recent book, a book we'll have out very, very soon, called The Satanic Crimes. It talks a great deal about the Bilderbergers. It talks about pedophile rings, about all sorts of horrible sexual aberration associated with the Bilderberger group, of which Henry Kissinger is a member. And of course, Henry Kissinger is part of the Bohemian Grove, where they run around naked in the woods, and all sorts of bizarre sexual exploitations there. In the Bohemian Grove, which most people have never heard of, because most people don't understand, they worship the owl. And if you doubt that, we have their statements from their publications, Bohemian Grove. And if you'd like that, we'll be glad to send it to you, where they say, we worship the owl. So go ahead, Bob.
And anyway, I had to bring that up because people just don't know that. And so you got to say to yourself, I mean, where is the hierarchy of the Catholic Church coming from? Because they know more than I do about what's going on. And probably more than you, and what their involvement is, I don't know. But that's a pretty strange pick.
Well, I think anybody would like to really understand what's going on, really did get our four tapes set on my interviews with Malachi Martin, the wisdom of Malachi Martin, specifically his discussion of his book, The Windswept House, that talks about the satanic ceremony in the basement of the Vatican. And as he said, you know, and here's a Jesuit priest who loves the Catholic Church. It really, he told me off the air, it really did take place. I had to write the book as fiction, but the fact is there really was a satanic ceremony in the basement of the Vatican. But then these satanic forces have infiltrated the Protestant Church and the Jewish religion. They permeated every aspect of our life and every aspect of our society. And most people don't even understand their symbol on the back of our dollar bill.
No. Well, let's go on to the finance again. We get a little sidetracked, but
all right, fine. Well,
I think it's interesting information.
All right, fine.
But anyway, I think that problem with the dollar is going to persist because if the Illuminists, the elitists, go for trade the tariffs, then the Chinese are going to start selling dollars. And that's going to cause a lot of problems. They have $750 billion in dollar-denominated assets, treasury bills, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, what you call agency paper, and things like that. And they also have corporate bonds as well. And the effect on the market could be pretty bad. And just a couple of days ago, Paulson said, I'm surprised we haven't had an economic correction. So that means that he's preparing people for one, because I don't think they're going to get to first base. They don't think they're going to get to first base with the Chinese either. And so what does all that mean to you and I? Well, it means, number one, that the stock market will fall precipitously. It means that interest rates will start to move up and bond returns, yields, will start to move up. It also means that a lot more pressure to the downside will be put on the real estate market. It means that the recession that America is already in, which began the beginning of February, will start to expedite.
And all right, hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply saying that he really feels that since we're really not going to get any concessions from the Chinese communists, and if they do put the tariffs on the Chinese goods, why, they'll begin selling their American dollars. They hold almost $750 billion, you know, in American bonds and American paper, and if they start dumping that, why, of course, they're really going to be tremendous inflationary pressures here, and not only that, but Bob anticipates the stock market's going to begin to fall, that the housing market's going to begin to contract, and that bonds themselves are going to go up, you know, because, of course, you pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, the yields will go up, the bonds will go down.
Right, okay.
And the bonds have just had a very large rally, almost a full percentage point, in a very short period of time, because there's others who are anticipating out there what I just have, And there's not a lot of places to go to hide. I imagine they'll switch out of U.S. denominated paper as soon as they make the gain and probably go into Euro or Swiss franc or maybe even Russian paper. The Russians now have $285 billion in foreign exchange and gold. And Russia has the third largest foreign exchange reserves in the world behind Japan and China. And so Russia could become a formidable financial power. And of course, most of it comes from natural resources, but particularly oil and gas. But anyway, there's going to be an exodus out of U.S. paper, so to speak. And that, I don't think it'll happen too quickly. What is too quickly? It'll happen over the next 2 to 3 years. The Chinese are not going to cut their nose off to spite their face. They'll just feed it into the market. I think they've already begun.
Why couldn't they move into the United States? Why couldn't they move in the United States and start buying up industries? You know, certainly we wouldn't let them have Union Oil, and there are lots of industries they could buy up. And in fact, so what people don't understand is the majority of what used to be American industries are no longer owned by Americans. They're owned by foreigners. And why don't they just come in and buy up the rest of them?
Well, it's a good question. Foreigners own 25% of our industry. Our companies, let's put it that way. And China could do that, but, you know, that's not going to solve what they want to do for their own country. They need that money in order to buy natural resources and other things. You know, China is the only one that they really have a large trade surplus with is the United States. They have surpluses with others, but they're small. And if all of this comes out the way I portrayed it, what's going to happen is that China is not only going to see a loss on the U.S. denominated assets that they have, but the amount of exports that they have going to the United States will stop being as large as that they have been in the past. And, of course, that's going to affect everybody in Asia and everybody throughout the world. And so what they're going to be caught with here is declining exports everywhere, particularly to the United States. And that's going to make their current account surplus less. And it's going to put pressure on their banking system, which is a mess, $1.3 trillion behind the eight ball. And and they're also going to have to buy gold. Now, they've been buying gold, but not in large quantities. And it's probably the easiest way for them to get rid of dollars. And I expect that the big push with the sale of dollars by the Chinese will be in the gold market. And a couple of weeks ago, I made an extrapolation of what they'd buy at certain price levels in order to come up with 5% of their foreign exchange assets in gold. They're only 1% right now, which is very low. And if they wanted to match or come close to the European countries that are heavy in gold, they'd need somewhere between 15 and 28%. And so that alone is going to take gold to somewhere between $1,500 and $2,200. There are other professionals who are my age or older who have projected their numbers. Harry Schultz says $1,600, and Harry's in his 80s, and he has the Harry Schultz letter, which he's had since about 1965. Jim Sinclair, who has had the same history that I have, as far as business is concerned, he's a year older than I am, and he says 1600.
Hold that thought.
I say 17.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Bob Chapman. And Bob is simply anticipating what's going to happen to the price of gold. Pick the story up there, Bob.
And Jim Turk, who is an ex-banker and is very much involved with gold and silver and has a newsletter, he believes it'll be 2,000. So that is just to discount the inflation since 1980, some 26 years. And so that level will equal somewhere in that area, will equal catch-up. Now, what it does beyond that, nobody knows. I would suspect, having been a market person all of my life, that there would be a natural double on speculation, taking it somewhere to $3,500 to $4,000. But things could get real crazy. It could go much higher. And so that's where gold's headed. And as long as inflation is driving it, silver will go with it. And so that's the way I see China exiting the dollar. But it's going to happen. I think the market's telling us that. And I think you people out there who don't have gold and silver-related assets, who have money that you can invest, you should be in gold and silver-related assets. And if you have them, increase your positions in them. Very important. For those of you who are not in that category, who don't have a lot of money, get rid of your credit card debt. Get rid of your revolving debt. Try to pay off your vehicles, because there's a good chance next year one of you breadwinners in the home will not have a job.
Well, that sounds sort of an ominous prediction, but I fear that you're absolutely right. I really can see that market beginning to turn down. I can see the dollar approaching 80 on this scale, this basket of currencies, where the dollar used to be at $1.20. It's now down to about 82.
It's 82.42 today, and that is six other currencies that your major currencies against the dollar. Half of the weighting is with the euro, and 20% is with the pound, and the rest is with other currencies. Supports at 80, and 78.33 was the low previously. It went down for only 13 days to that level during a 30-year period. So if 80 is broken,
hold that thought. 78, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. He is talking about the fact that he thinks that the dollar is going to break 80. Now, this is the rating in relationship to a basket of currencies, six other currencies. And we were up to $1.20 at one time, and now we're down to about 82. And do you think it'll break 80, Bob? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. And one of the reasons that I haven't mentioned is that the move, which had a number of reasons, I wrote about this in 2001 when I said that it was too late for the United States to turn back. They economically and financially passed the point of no return. And I said they will have a war and there will be a triggering event. And I said this in November 2000, and of course, we had 9/11, and I picked the time frame within 32 days. Couldn't pick the event or where it was going to happen, but I knew they were planning something. They always do. You just look at history. And I foretold the war in the Middle East, how it would happen and why. And the main reason is that they want to form a geopolitical platform that would outflank China and Russia by forming a bloc of six countries, and that would be Georgia, Azerbaijan, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. And that would be their springboard. At the same time, they wanted U.S. companies and British companies to come in and take over the oil in Iraq, That didn't work out. Brzezinski said almost 6 months ago, when I really figured out what they were going to do next, that, you know, we laid out these plans. They were beautiful. And these nincompoops in Washington made a terrible mess out of them. They set the movement for the new world order and world government back 5 or 10 years. And I said at the time, you try 20 or 30 years. And so that has really been a total failure. And they're going to have to extricate themselves. I figure it'll take about 2 years, but they're going to pull them all out. And the United States is going to be in serious geopolitical trouble. And then they've got the horrendous debt. Then they get the falling dollar. And if the dollar goes down to 55 or to 40, which would be 35 or 50% correction, then they have the problem arising that maybe the dollar won't be the world's reserve currency anymore. And that has tremendous advantages. So America could be in far more serious problems than I've even depicted. And so things are going to get pretty nasty out there.
Well, I certainly share your concern, but before we go on, I'd like you to go ahead and get your telephone number out. I'd like you to get, however people can get copies of the International Forecaster, and where can they certainly find out about subscribing to it? Because I look forward twice a week to getting your 30 page of missiles. And, of course, it keeps us abreast of everything going on. I do a lot of research, but I very seldom have something that you don't have, and you've got a lot of things that I haven't been able to pick up. So, certainly, how can people get your material? That's the International Forecaster.
Well, first of all, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. And we publish via Internet twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And occasionally we'll miss one because we have to have a breather. In fact, the last one we missed, I took a breather and I worked. instead of getting an issue on Saturday, they get it on Monday. But anyway, and then we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. And so to get a free introductory copy of either, you call toll-free 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And if you'd like to visit our site on the Internet, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FOrecaster.com.
Well, certainly silver certainly seemed to be moving very well recently.
Well, it's been very strong in here. It was up again today, and there's an awful lot of uncomfortable shorts in silver right now. I was just looking at the inventories, and, you know, like everything else that comes out of Washington, and COMEX is indirectly controlled by Washington through the working group and financial markets. And COMEX has been going along with the government program from the very beginning. The market manipulation has been going on. So you can't believe one figure that comes out of there. And it's the same, of course, with all the other figures that come out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And now here we find today from The Guardian in London that their economics editor says, well, the same thing's going on here. They're telling people inflation's 2.5%, and it's 8.5% to 10%. I mean, this is a major newspaper. And so, what am I telling you? I'm telling you all the governments are lying. Nobody tells the truth. And so, you know, you gotta fly by the seat of your pants. And you need something like the International Forecaster to really find out what's going on out there from someone who's had 48 years experience and who's afraid of nothing, absolutely nothing. And I've made sure that I'm not accessible to the government.
Well, I think it's a fascinating newsletter, and we certainly enjoy reading what you have to say, Bob. Now, certainly, where did gold close? Was it close to, 13 or 14 today?
Say that again, please.
Where did silver close? Close to 13 or 14?
Gee, I just wrote about it here. Hold on a second. I'll give you the market. We've got it in long game. We haven't had it typed yet. I recap the market every day. Let's see, the close. Okay, let's go to the spot contract. 645.20 up 10 cents. Silver rose 8 cents to $14.05.
$14.05. Now, that's pretty good. Pretty good rise here over the last...
45 more cents, and they will be attacking the former high of not too long ago in May. And if it breaks that, $22 to $25. There's nothing in the way. Don't forget, silver hasn't been up, has gold, since 1980. The market topped out in June, and we had a little flurry after that, and that was the end of it. As they, the market just topped out, and the silver was trading between $45 and $50 an ounce, and gold at $850 to $880. And that's as far as it went at that time, but I think silver could go back to $50 here pretty easily. And I think that that would probably happen when gold was somewhere between $1,200 and $1,700. There's going to be an enormous amount of money made. I have subscribers who already have made, these people invested a lot of money, but they've already made millions. And there's subscribers who haven't made nearly as much money, but they've made money. And that's important because that is keeping their assets together, and it's offsetting inflation, and they're in a hard asset. They're in real money is what gold is, and silver was at one time. And so it's very important that they get gold and silver-related assets.
Well, I think that, as we see this thing beginning to unwind now, the question is, does the United States government have any gold at all? We keep seeing these programs on the various channels, the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, I don't know what they are, but they're always just showing us these pictures of all the gold at Fort Knox. Is this really true, or are we being lied to? And is this a clever a ploy to try to convince us we have something behind our currency?
Well, I have had and still do have subscribers who have worked in Fort Knox, and there isn't any gold there. Now, they may have gold someplace else, but they don't have it there. Now, there's a lot of gold held in the Federal Reserve Bank and their vaults in Wall Street. Maybe the U.S. has gold there. But I see the swapping of coin melt for good delivery gold, and it just happened again recently. And the only people in the world who have coin melt are the United States government from 33 and 34. And so when you're selling coin melt, that means that you don't have any good delivery at all, probably. Another thing is they had a number of refineries, gold refineries in the United States, that worked for a number of years, the last 15, 20 years, and they were refining and making good delivery out of that gold that they had from melt, and those refineries are shutting down. And that tells me that the government doesn't have any more business for them, and that means they're running out of gold. I think the U.S. government's at the bottom of the barrel.
Well, certainly we're having to borrow money from other countries just to pay our debts. What is it, about $3 billion a day we're having to borrow?
3.5. And that's in danger. The amount of money has been dwindling that has been invested in mostly U.S. Treasury and agency paper by other central banks. The big buyers recently for the last year and a half have been the Gulf oil producers via London. And I suspect, too, that the Federal Reserve is using offshore banks, and they are creating money out of thin air and buying treasury paper. And, of course, that's immediately inflationary. I suspect that, but I can't prove that because they won't tell you these things. I mean, the Federal Reserve is as federal as Federal Express is, but they do what they want to do. I mean, you got a gang of thugs here. You got a bunch of common criminals. This is what this is all about. They just happen to be Satanists at the same time. And so the amount of money coming into the country is in danger, because the lower the dollar goes, without interest rates going up, the less people will want to buy that paper. There's only about 0.8, 80% of 1% difference between Euro paper and U.S. paper, and the spread should be at least 2 points. And that's supposed to compensate for the troubles that the U.S. has financially.
Well, now, has the Euro maintained at least some gold backing for their currency? And what about some of the countries over there, like Austria and Switzerland? Don't they actually have a fairly good gold backing for their currencies?
The Swiss have somewhere in the vicinity of 30%. I see varying figures, but that's a conservative figure, which is good. And at one time, Germany, France, and Italy were in the 25 to 28% category. What they got now, I don't know, because they've all been leasing gold and they've been selling gold. And wait till the public finds out that the gold isn't there anymore, they're going to hang these people. And that will happen. They will find out sooner or later. And of course, they figure that, well, we can make the people do what they want, but I got news for them. You get a depression, you get hungry people, you get mobs in the street. They got to say, who did this to me? Not only over there, it's here, too, in the United States.
And I think it's so important that the American people understand that the Federal Reserve Act said that this privately owned central bank had an obligation, and that was to maintain the stability of our currency so that the people could not be impoverished as they were so many times during the 19th century. And instead of doing what they should have done during the 20th century, these people destroyed the value of our currency systematically. And so that we're down to what, about 95% of the value, lost 95% of the value, something like that? How much we lost?
Well, almost all of it. And, you know, the figure's not important. It's almost 100%. And they have, by stealth, they have stolen the assets of the American people.
And, of course, they've made tremendous profits on their own. They've been able to buy up the media, and they've been able to buy up, you said, the corporations and the banks, and, you know, using this money.
How about the large amounts of gold that are sold by central banks that belong to the people?
Right.
That went into their hands as well. They're loaded with gold. One thing they're not is stupid. You don't underestimate these people.
And, of course, the thing is that the average American honestly believes that the Federal Reserve System is a branch of the U.S. government. And they have no idea. This is a privately owned central bank. They're not to protect the stability of our currency, but to enrich the financiers who run the system and work in league with the central banks throughout the rest of the world as they move us towards a world feudalistic system. Those are the words of course, Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, page 350. A world feudalistic system that they control. That's what the central banks are about. And the average American has no idea, and he won't, of course, until suddenly he wakes up one day to find himself impoverished, perhaps having lost his job, his family, and certainly his house. Well, Bob, we've just got a little bit of time. What are your thoughts? What message would you like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, whatever you do, get rid of your debt and get into gold and silver assets. It's extremely important. And try to tell your friends what's going on. You get Sam's tapes and his book and so on. And subscribe to the International Forecaster. It's really going to help you. I mean, you should see the stories I get from people, and I don't get any bad ones. They're all good, and I've been very fortunate. I picked 98% of the markets. How I could do that is beyond comprehension. All I can tell you is I have to have an angel sitting on my shoulder because no human being can be that right. And this is the second job for me. I retired as a stockbroker, and so I'm very fortunate to be able to continue to work and to help people.
Well, I'm glad that you're still working, Bob, because we always enjoy having you on the program, and I think we have you lined up for a couple of times this month. And so we'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster to wrap up this evening's program. Again, what's that telephone number to call if they'd like to get a copy of the International Forecaster?
That's 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And we'll be back in just a moment here with wrap up this evening, this first hour of this evening's program. Well, Bob, go right ahead, and you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I think, and I predicted this 6 months ago, that every effort will be made by this committee that was formed by Congress called the Iraq Study Committee to find solutions for the problem in the Middle East. And the bottom line is pull out. And they're sitting down head to head. You'll read about it tomorrow. And the president's going to say, well, I don't want to do that. And we don't have to do that. And he's in denial. He lives in another world. And I want to tell you something. If he doesn't go along with the program, and everybody on that committee is CFR illuminist, just like he is, if he doesn't do what they tell him to do, he's not going to be around very long. And they're going to purge all of the neocons. They've already lost 3 of them. And I would say within 3 months, they'll all be gone.
You're talking about people like John Bolton, Paul Wolfowitz, and, of course, Rumsfeld.
And Carbone.
Right.
And Carbone is leaving at the end of the month. He's one of the most dangerous people I know. This guy is a piece of work. But lots of others will be gone. And they'll just float on to some other illuminous project. But the blame has to be put on them. It can't be put on Bush. But they are going to attempt to pull out with the assistance of Iran and Syria. And talks have been going on with these people in back channel with the illuminous for 2 years. That's how long they've been trying to extricate themselves from this mess.
Well, I certainly hope that we can get all of our men out. I got a feeling that we're going to leave some of them there, but it'll be very interesting to see how this thing unfolds. And certainly there is absolutely nothing to gain. The longer we stay, the more people are going to die. Most of the people who are fighting over there are fighting because we're occupying their land. That's why they're fighting. These are not Al-Qaeda terrorists, contrary to what you're told. They may be Muslim fighters coming from other nations because it is against their religion to have the infidels occupying their land. And we are occupying their land. And when they went in there, they knew that was going to happen. And that's why they dissolved the Iraqi army and police force and civil service to create the chaos to justify our staying. And, of course, all it's done is go from bad to worse to where we are today. Bob Chapman, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a joy to be here. And thank you for having me.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, that was Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, because, quite frankly, we need your help to maintain the network that we have with shortwave 4 hours a day, and satellite 5 hours a day, and radio 5 hours a day, and certainly the satellite 9 hours a day. So we have an opportunity to reach people with the information you're not going to get elsewhere. But, well, if you'd like to help us, give us a call. Perhaps consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We do want to mention that we do carry the Berkey products, the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light, something everybody should have. because we're moving into a very uncertain time in America. And whatever happens, I believe there's going to be an increasing tempo of violence. Certainly the government anticipates it. That's why they passed the Military Commissions Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, so that they can declare martial law. Why would they have done that? Why would they insist on doing away with posse comitatus and the president being able to take control of the National Guard from the governors of the states without their permission to use against the American people? They know there's going to be problems, so you should certainly have a source of fresh water. This is why one reason we make the Berkeys available, that, and of course, so you can get the fluoride out of your water, which is poisoning you and poisoning your children. And if you doubt that, you go to Dr. Paul Conant's website, fluoridealert.org, and when you get his material, you realize they've been systematically and intentionally deceiving the American people as they destroy the intelligence of our children and make so many people simply very placid so that we could be controlled more readily. But don't take my word for it. Dr. Conant's a professor of chemistry. All the information is there, and you're never going to hear about it in the controlled media. So certainly, if you're interested in the Big Berkey, if you're interested in getting long-term storage foods, well, I would be glad to send you a catalog. But this is the time to make your preparations, because after the first of the year, we have sources of information that suggest that some very serious things are going to be happening. Civil war in Mexico. You think we've got a lot of immigrants streaming in before? Well, you haven't seen anything yet, ladies and gentlemen. We probably have between 20 and 30 million illegal immigrants in America, and it's just the beginning. If you really want to understand how this all fits together, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, either the book or get the DVD, or get the book, the DVD, and the audio tape. You can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We do hope that many of you want to get the other material we have. If you want to understand what happened on 9/11, why you need to get the new DVD we're carrying, 9/11 Mysteries, and then 9/11 Press for the Truth, the story of the Jersey Girls, The Terror Storm by Alex Jones, and you'll actually hear a member of the British cabinet saying the explosion, the attack in London, was an intelligence operation. You'll hear somebody had left the intelligence agency over there in London saying, the attack in London, which came just about 5 or 6 days before the election so that Tony Blair could get reelected, with perfectly timing, was an intelligence operation. Talk about the people. The explosives were supposed to be in the bus and in the train. Well, if that's the case, then why was the metal blown up into the cabin rather than down? If they would expect it would go down, but it was blown up. Up. In other words, the explosives were below. They were not in the in the chambers. They were placed underneath the bus, underneath the train. How did Osama bin Laden do that? Well, I don't think he did. I think it was an intelligence operation. You need to see the DVDs of what happened, the controlled demolition of Building Number 7. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. The other two DVDs are in plain sight, and 9/11, the day that changed America forever. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, because there are powerful spiritual forces that are energizing this whole movement towards the New World Order and the destruction of Christianity. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guests. And well, tonight, for the second hour, we're going to have Tom Specht on the line, and he's written a book about the propaganda in the New World Order, or for the New World Order. And if you are wondering really what's going on, I mean, why are we really over there in the Middle East? Let me explain to you why. We're over there in the Middle East as a great diversion, so that you will not be watching what is happening here at home. You won't be concerned about the fact that they're encouraging illegal immigration into our country, trying to convert us into a multicultural, multilingual society with a thought in mind that then they'll be able to play one group against the other, especially if they create a chaotic situation here, and we can have, of course, all sorts of violence, and that'll justify then the implementation of John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, which allows the president to declare martial law across America anytime he wants to, and to use the military troops against the American citizens. They have repealed the Posse Comitatus Act. The National Guard are no longer a state militia to defend the citizens here. They are to be used against the American citizens. Why would they pass legislation like that? And I think you should ask that question. Why were they so intent upon getting the Military Commissions Act passed that legalized torture? It says that torture... confessions obtained by torture can be used, and that, of course, they can. Any military commission can label anyone a military combatant. They say it's only for aliens, but if you read the act, it talks about, in some places, aliens. In other places, it talks about persons. Persons, ladies and gentlemen, every one of you listening is a person. Read the act and understand you cannot believe what they're telling you. You can tell when the executive branch is lying because their lips are moving. They have an agenda. They want a world government, and they want to destroy Christianity, and they're doing a pretty good job. They've changed the music and the message of our churches all across our land, and of course what they really want is a new world religion where we all worship the same God, just like the president says. We will all worship the same God. The Muslims, the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, everybody's going to worship the same God. Only he's not the God of the Christians. That's why it's all about. Well, with that as a background, Tom, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Yes, thank you very much, Stan, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about who you are and how it was that you wrote a book?
Well, who I am, I'm just an average, ordinary middle-class American. I wrote this book basically in response out of frustration of the New World Order and seeing how I wanted to write a book from a perspective to show that it affects all of us on an individual basis, very personally. The New World Order definitely has the international connotations to it, as you were discussing there in the background. And I wanted to take really a domestic approach and show how, whether you're working in the regular corporate business world working environment, you're in academia, you're just, say, a student, even in high school, certainly in college, also within our various government institutions, I see that, you know, the New World Order has affected all of us along those levels. And it's been an infiltration over the past, I'd say, at least 4 to 5 decades personally on our level, but it's gone from an infiltration, now it's become institutionalized. And that's what I want to discuss with my book that I've written, The Politics of Propaganda.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, I guess it's Tom Speck, the politics of propaganda for the New World Order. Go right ahead, Tom, and pick the story up. Do you really believe that they are using propaganda on the American people?
Well, without a doubt, Dr. Stan, propaganda has been a tool that historically has been used, obviously, by Nazi fascism, Stalinist Russia, Maoist China. And what I am aiming to show is that people, I think we tend to seem to think that at least what we've been told or propagandized is communism is no longer around. It was defeated when the wall came down, and it's, if you talk about communism or you label it where we are under a communist attack in this country, you're considered a wacko. You're considered, and that's part of their plan, is to debunk and demythologize that notion of communism. They want to portray it as, well, it's just this 1950s anachronism of McCarthyism. That's what communism is. And, well, that's not the case. I mean, communism has been around in this country. It's alive. It's thriving. It is attacking our institutions. And I see a direct correlation, most certainly, especially with the Chinese communism, most under Maoism. Obviously, there are a lot of similarities between Stalinism and Nazi fascism within this country, but I think what I mean by Maoism really taking hold in this country is the essence of Maoism and what Mao Zedong and the Chinese communists wanted to bring to their society was a total thought reform, re-education, a self-criticizing of the country, and basically to create just an endless perpetual revolution, constantly throw the country in the revolution, throw it in the class warfare, throw it into turmoil. And I think it is certainly evidence when we see the attack upon Christianity. Even going into a deeper level, you can see the attacks on the white hetero-Christian male, the glorification of homosexuality, illegal immigration, gun control. These are all fundamental tenets that are orchestrated by communism to destroy the American nation-state republic.
Well, then how do the communists get enough power to do all of these things in America? They must have a lot of friends in very high places.
Absolutely. I think that it's certainly, you know, being propagated on an international level, as you have talked about the global...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Stan, our Tom Speck is talking about, he feels that there's a strong communist influence in America today. That is, the communists, these ideas, certainly of glorifying homosexuality, deprecating the white male, attacking Christianity. He feels these are all communist ideas that are being promoted, and I simply asked him during the break, how are the communists able to do all of these things? So, I mean, certainly, and if the communists are doing it, why isn't the media telling us about it? Certainly, the communists don't control all of the media here, do they?
Well, I think they don't control all the media, but they are heavily infiltrated within the media, and we see it within the big lies that are produced to us every night when we turn on the TV. And as I'd like to, I know I'm doing a cross-cultural comparison here, but I also see it from the argumentum ad nauseum, which is the telling of the big lie, of which was propagandized by Joseph Goebbels and the Nazi Party. And it's, we see that in the controlled stories of how, you know, we are taught how to think, the cover-ups, and, you know, we obviously are not given the full story. That's why we have radio stations such as this and other talk radio sources. And, you know, I think what it's doing is it's certainly attacking the way we think. I think we have a one-dimensional mindset in this country, and it's programmed us to where we have two parties, a Democrat and a Republican Party, and that's certainly not the case. Both parties have merged into creating a one giant red party, is what I like to call it in my book. and I certainly see that that push as being evident, and it's a push of consistency. And I think, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote about how, I like to quote him, for a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. With consistency, a great soul simply nothing to do. And I think that's the track of how we are being programmed to think, is to think along this one international, one world order type of consistency. Don't question what the right is telling you. Don't question what the left is telling you. If you do, then you're considered a dangerous American. You're not a great American. And, you know, that's one of the underlying damages that we have, is this one track, one dimensional, foolish consistency that Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote about. Certainly he wasn't, you know, directing it towards communism, but I mean, I certainly see the comparison.
Well, of course, if there's really, of course, this communist movement that you're describing in America, why would the people who control our media instead of be going along with it? Because, after all, if we're going to divide the wealth up as communists advocate, wouldn't they be dividing up their wealth? I mean, you wouldn't think that they would want to be supporting communism, or why would they support communism?
Well, I think that they have no qualms about the redistribution of wealth, what you're referring to. I honestly, that they're hardcore Leninists. They feel that they are not taxed enough. They feel that we should have even more taxes. And they are, and I think beyond the monetary issue, I think it's just all about control. You know, if you look at, you know, thinking of, along the lines of politics, I mean, you certainly, you know, a lot of our politicians came from successful positions within the business world, and you often wonder, you know, taking this kind of a pay cut to go into politics, what makes them want to do something like that, where they're going to make less money as a politician, as opposed if they stayed in the regular corporate environment. And I think it's their whole attitude of the social Darwinism, which falls right underlined with the communism. I attitude that we are at the top, the power, the control, and I think that the aspect of their redistribution of wealth, they feel that it's more important to them to be the ruling party, to be at the top and under control.
But of course, if they redistribute their wealth, they're going to lose their position. Do you think these people really want to redistribute their wealth, or do you think they want to redistribute our wealth?
Well, I think it goes back to the social Darwinism aspect, where we are considered below, and they would like to redistribute our wealth as opposed to theirs.
And I think that's really an important thing. There many, many wealthy people support this idea. You call it communism, call it socialism, call it humanism, call it what you will. The name really allows, certainly increases the confusion. But there really are, if you look at communism objectively, it's a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory based upon from each according to his ability, to each according to his need, and massive sharing. But the truth of the matter is, it is an autocratic means by which a few control the masses and use a gigantic bureaucracy and the authority of the law, reinforced by police and military and secret police, so that you have a new ruling elite. And I really believe that's why the people of great wealth support these ideas of centralization of power in government, because they're going to control the government. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, they are about control and setting about their power. And, you know, one of the mechanisms behind that, you know, what you had stated earlier, well, if they, you know, if they redistribute their wealth, and that's going to take them out of power. But I think there are certain mechanizations that are occurring, such as gun control, and you see, you know, various laws that have been passed, where, you know, such as, like, obviously in the state of California, it's prohibited against the law to own an assault rifle. After 1989, you are not allowed to have any operating magazine clip more than 10 rounds. You were to carry your gun in a locked container while you're driving around in your car, separated from your ammunition. And you see all these different little laws that are passed to take away your power to defend yourself. And that is their push. They realize, well, if we can take the guns out of the populace's hands, then we have gone one step further to where, well, this redistribution of wealth isn't going to matter to us because we own the guns, and it stems along the lines of Mao Zedong's ideology of politics grows out of the barrel of a gun.
And I think that's absolutely right, and I think that's the real reason for all this gun control. If they were really concerned about preventing crime and violence, they would realize that in the areas where people have ready access to guns to defend themselves, there's far less crime and violence. And they know what this shows. They just want the American people to know. In fact, once they begin to outline the guns in Canada and Australia and in Great Britain, the incidence of gun violence actually increased. Because the most incredible things happen. Criminals do not obey the laws. And they continue using the weapons, but now they know that there'll be no opposition because nobody can defend themselves from the criminals, and there's nobody can defend themselves from the government either. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295. But you feel that they're using a great deal of propaganda to actually condition our minds to accept this idea of world government. And where do these ideas for world government come from?
Well, these ideas for world government, I think, come from the aspect that it's their plan is to destroy our economic, our political, our social sovereignty in exchange for international socialism. And, for instance, I would say free trade. Obviously, we know there is nothing for free. It is a tremendous facade. And it is an attack against working-class Americans to destroy the manufacturing base of this country. And it is just another aspect to bring about this international push to create a two-class society of the haves and the have-nots. And I think not only along the aspects of the manufacturing base and our producing jobs being destroyed, but we also, which I'll touch on later on, because I had personal experience with this working in the hotel hospitality industry as a guest services manager for 8 years, We're not only seeing our producing jobs disappear, but also the service jobs. And it's very dangerous. Obviously, a lot of it has gone overseas to China, India, other Asian nations. And China has, the way I see it is China has engaged us in an economic war in terrorism. You cannot go into any Walmart, any Home Depot, any other major Costco, any major chain in this country without picking a product off the shelf and seeing that it was made in China when these were products that were made in America by Americans, for Americans. And it's very dangerous destroying this manufacturing base. I mean, this is the base that built this country. It's ingrained within our history. It goes all the way back pre-revolutionary period, the founding fathers, obviously Washington, Hamilton, Adams, Jefferson was more of the agrarian type that believed in the independent agrarian farmer. Then he had to experience the devastation in his presidency before the War of 1812 and realizing that England had engaged us in dumping products onto our shores, just like what China and other foreign countries are doing today, before he finally came around and realized that free trade is not free. And it was the creation under the genius of Hamilton to create this this strong manufacturing base.
And, of course, it was the tariff which was really protected our industries and, of course, allowed, of course, our manufacturing to become, to the point where at one time we produced over half of all the manufactured goods in the entire world after the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
That is no longer the case. There's been an organized, orchestrated effort to actually send our manufacturing overseas and to provide the funds to build up the manufacturing miracle that is present in China today. It didn't happen by accident. It was planned that way because there are people who have a different loyalty because they worship a different God. Well, Tom, you go right ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, yes, I mean, back to the manufacturing base, and you see that, you know, it was, our country is all about protectionism, economic protectionism, you know, which prevented countries such as England trying to destroy our new republic, our economic base. And what's dangerous today is the lack of loyalty that goes where, well, what's good for the company is good for the country is what you're starting to see, and it's creating a lack of patriotism, and you have these transnational elites who operate under the theory that no man can basically serve two masters. It's either the nation state or the company, and it's creating a tremendous problem with our manufacturing base. I mean, while we are destroying our manufacturing base and tearing down our plants, we are helping countries such as China or Venezuela create their military-industrial complex, which was the military-industrial complex that we had right before World War II, which, you know, allowed Ford Motor Company to immediately convert from producing vehicles into creating tanks and all other types of weaponry to help in the war effort.
Well, of course, the thing is, as we look and see what's happening, the reason that we're losing our manufacturing base is, number one, because, of course, of these ideas of free trade, or at least controlled trade, where they can bring the products made with slave labor right into the United States, where they can produce them overseas at half the cost that they can produce them for here, and that takes into account the shipping here, so that our manufacturers cannot compete. But if we had tariffs, why, we would not have the problems we have today. But these tariffs were destroyed and removed by people who have a different allegiance. They're globalists. They do not believe in the nation state. They really believe in this ethereal dream of a one world government. You've referred to it as internationalism. These people at the highest levels of our government have deceived the American people into thinking, oh, isn't it going to be great? You're going to get all these cheap goods from China. The trouble is, very soon, there are not going to be enough people who have jobs to buy all those cheap goods from China, because in the process of globalization, we're going to raise the living standards throughout the entire world. That's the process, that is the idea, that is the intent. Mm-hmm. But in the process, we're going to lower the living standards here in America, not a little bit, but grossly lower the living standards here in America. And the America you and I grew up in, Tom, will soon cease to exist.
Yes, and I see that as a preconditioning level. What they're trying to prepare us for is to lower these standards, to acclimate us to populations of illegal aliens coming over from Mexico and other countries, and destroying the labor and the supply and demand of the jobs in this country. And it's conditioning us and getting us ready to realize that, hey, you're not going to be able to make the same amount of wage that you did 15, 20 years ago. I mean, obviously you have an abundance of simple economics 101, more supply of the labor, and the demand for a good wage goes down. And, you know, that's what I think we are definitely seeing in this country. And it's going to have very dangerous ramifications, I mean, on a political, social, and economic level in the long term.
I agree with you totally, and we'll be back in just a moment with Tom here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tom Speck. He's written a book on the politics and propaganda for the New World Order, propaganda for politics anyway. We'll let him. Tom, why don't you give the telephone number where people can get you back, the exact title, perhaps your web page, and let me remind our listeners, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Tom is talking about propaganda, in other words, conditioning our minds to accept the New World Order. And then, of course, what this whole idea of globalization is going to mean as far as the people listening to this audience. What's happening is not an accident. It is part of a carefully planned program, planned by people that you would not think would be intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and impoverishing our people. But they really are, and some of them are in the highest places in industry, in banking, and in our government itself. Tom, how can people get hold of your book? How can they get hold of your webpage? And tell us a little bit more about that.
The best way for people to purchase this book would be to visit my publisher's website at www.authorhouse.com. And once you're on the website, just log on to bookstore or click on the bookstore link, and then you can either type in the politics of propaganda or my name, Thomas, and then S-P-E-C-H-T.
S-P-E-C-H-T, that's Thomas Becton. What's the title of the book?
The Politics of Propaganda.
The Politics of Propaganda.
Subtitled America's Battle Against the New World Order.
Well, how did you really become aware of what was going on?
I've been following this for probably the last 10 years, and I would say just from listening to various radio shows like yourself and other shows that are out there, having pretty much just grown up and been deeply involved in what is happening to us on a domestic level in this country, because I feel that I have to tell you, I'm a little bit on the younger side, if you're not able to tell by my voice. I'm approaching 30, to give you an idea about my age, and you're probably wondering, well, how does someone so young even have an interest in something like this? And my interest has been being raised by parents who have wonderful morals that have instilled in me a concern with politics, and it's been more towards, I would say, an independent conservative leaning, and it's been with school. I mean, just growing up and having gone through college a few years back and experiencing this, not only, like I said, this infiltration earlier, but just the institutionalization of this left-leaning communism, where you're attending a college class and you're being attacked by a professor, not directly but indirectly, from the sense that he's attacking the American spirit, the military, the police, and basically saying everything that's wrong with this country, and yet at the same time pushing this whole aspect of multiculturalism, pushing that we are, what does it mean to be an American? We are a country of many cultures, where I see it differently. Yes, we have different people here in this country, but we're a multi-ethnic country under one umbrella of Americanism.
You're absolutely right, and I think this is really what's so important, is that certainly you can have people of various races. You can have Orientals, you can have Indians, you can have blacks or browns, but if they understand what freedom is about, if they understand the concepts that are laid out in our Constitution, they understand why America is different than other nations, and it's different than other nations because we established a nation where the power of government was to be restricted by the chains of the Constitution so men could be free. That was the common denominator of America. We were not multicultural, we were not multilingual, we were multi-ethnic, and certainly Tom's point is so well made. Well, let's go to Jim, calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Jim, did you have a question?
Yes, hello.
Yes, do you have a question?
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest his thoughts on. I'm a Christian, and I started to study these secret societies and things like that just a few years ago, and that's the thing that led me to Christ and to understand prophecy and everything. I could see things that were happening in the world. And the point is, I see these elitist groups in the world all seem to be working together for the same thing, which is globalism and one world government and so forth, one world religion.
All right, hold that thought here. We'll be back in just a moment with our guest, Tom Specht. Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Jim calling Nashville from Nashville, Tennessee. Jim, what was the question you were going to ask?
Okay, well, I wanted to ask, as Americans, well, does he agree with the point of view I just laid out, is that things seem to be heading that way? And if he does what as Americans can we do or should we do, and especially as Christians?
Well, now, of course, the thing is, Jim, are you suggesting that the secret societies are moving us towards this idea of globalism? Is that the statement that you want to know if he agrees with that?
Well, I want to know if he agrees with that, and if he did, as if you read the Book of Revelation, it says that eventually the world will have there will be a one world government and so forth, and everyone will follow after.
And they will get their authority from the beast.
Right, and if he agrees with that, what as Americans, what should we do? And as Christians, also, what should we do?
All right, I'll take my question there, Tom. Yes. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes, that's what should we do is a question that a lot of us have, and that's one of to answer Jim's question. I mean, that's the reason why I wrote this book, is I wanted to have this book be a source of mobilization and motivation for people. I wanted to write a blueprint of a book that not only discusses our problems with the New World Order, because I think, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we can see that this New World Order, it's sort of detached from us, especially if you get into notions of the shadow government, secret societies. You talk about Fabian socialism and I agree with all those. I see the networking of that, but I think it's distanced. And what I wanted to do and to give people like Jim a source of hope and to give them motivation is to write out a blueprint of what is going on in this country, and to show that we are having our border is broken down, our nation state republic is under attack, and it's affecting all of us on a very personal level, especially being out here in the western region of the United States. Obviously, illegal immigration is a certain element that I've actually had the experience of it several times, mostly within when I was working for this major hotel corporation in the Lake Tahoe area, and just witnessing how just the emergence of a Hispanic culture that had not really existed prior towards our borders becoming wide open, and just seeing the growth and the level coming into the hotel. And there's nothing wrong. These are very hard workers.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right. Well, Jim is calling from Nashville, and Jim says that, of course, he's coming. Started studying this, found out there were a lot of secret societies that were out there, all seemed to be working for world government, and wanted to know, of course, what Tom's idea of that. Tom says that he certainly believes that this is, what was the phrase you used? You feel that this is sort of distant? Is this the real cause of the move towards world government, or what is the real cause of the move towards world government? Well, if it's not these secret societies that Jim is talking about.
Yes, are the secret societies the cause towards the world government?
Yes, I think that would be what Jim is really asking.
What he's really asking. I think they certainly play a role in the situation. They, I guess, to use the analogy of the puppeteer, they're sitting back and certainly they're pulling the strings and utilizing what I like to say is the useful idiot class, which was borrowed from Lenin, coming from the Russian version of communism, and using certain people through brainwashing and mind control to get them to push their agenda, which would be political correctness, ultra tolerance. So certainly the secret societies, to answer Jim's question, they are playing a significant role. However, their role is not really to us personally. I mean, they're using other groups as conduits.
All right, fine. Well, then Jim's other question is, what are we going to do about it?
What are we going to do about it is a very good question. There's several things that that we need vigilance is the number one answer that I can give. I know that sounds like a very loose and ambiguous term, but it, our vigilance and staying abreast of these issues and speaking out as much as you can, speak out, question the multicultural cadres that demand that you go to a diversity and sensitivity training session at your work. Say this is not right. I do not believe in this. I do not need to be told and labeled and criticized that I am some kind of racist, and that's why you're having me sit down and attend this cultural diversity discrimination meeting. I mean, what brought all of this about? Why all of a sudden do our major companies all across the country, their number one focal point is pushing that we are a diverse company. We believe in multiculturalism. I mean, these are all anti-American ideas. I mean, I certainly don't need to be told how to communicate to someone of a different race. I mean, I grew up in a multi-ethnic area when I was younger. I went to a grade school that had all different types of races in the classroom. And I mean, we all got along together and played fine, and we didn't have to attend any cultural diversity seminar or be told by the Maoist cadres coming in and telling us that, this is how you're to think now. This is how you are to conduct yourself with this individual. Maybe show a little more tolerance. And, it's ridiculous. And, we're all under attack.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, what they're really trying to do, I'm sure you're well aware, Tom, is that they want to change our perspective. They want to make us feel uneasy that somehow we hold a certain specific values. Now, anybody can be a good American. You can be Spanish, you Mexican, you can be a good American. But you've got to want to be part of our nation. You want to be mold in and learn our language and learn our ways. Not try to simply bring the Mexican culture to America, but certainly there's nothing wrong with the Mexican culture. But that's fine for Mexico. If you want to destroy America, you create a multicultural, multilingual society, and that's really what this is all about. But, of course, the question is, we know what's going on. What can we possibly do about it from your perspective? And I think that's really what Jim is asking there. Is that really right, Jim?
Well, I was thinking, I mean, it seems like I'm almost to the point of hopelessness, where it's like, what is there left to save? And there's so many different problems. I mean, you've got, not only do you have the borders practically non-existent, I mean, then you've also got our manufacturing pretty much non-existent. You've got our economic system completely controlled by the elitists, like, the Federal Reserve and everything. And it just seems like if we're going to save America, what is it we're trying to save? What are we trying to return to? That's my question.
All right, I think that's a very good question. How would you respond to that, Tom?
That is a very good question. I mean, my first response to Jim on that is, I definitely feel your frustrations, and I know exactly what you're talking about, where you're coming from, and I battle that type of hopelessness all the time. Realizing, what are we going to do? Where do we turn to? How do we vote? I mean, does our vote even matter anymore?
No, it really doesn't, because, of course, they rigged the elections. Well, let me, Jim, give you an answer to this, because I've been at this for a long time. I've been at it for 44 years, a lot longer than Tom's been living. But, first of all, we put together a 10-point program. The first one was, if you really want to be involved in this battle, you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord, because it's a spiritual battle. And if you try to enter this battle, and to be effective in this battle and to survive in this battle, you're going to have the Lord's protection. You cannot do this on your own, because we're battling not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the forces of darkness that rule this world. Now, secondly, then the second point is, you have to understand what America is all about. You have to understand the foundations of our freedom. Why is America a different country? And here you need to understand the history of America, our form of government, our construction of government, that really was the finest system of government ever devised by mankind, and at one time was the envy of people throughout the world. Then, of course, once you understand where you're coming from and what you want to try to restore, then you have to begin learning about the secret societies, as you've obviously done, and the fact that there really are people who have a different worldview. But what most people do not understand is the dualistic concept, that the fact that there are two gods. There's the God that they worship, and there's the God that we worship. And if you want to understand that, you really have to almost read Albert Pike's 1871-1872 book entitled Morals and Dogma. As you read that, understanding we're talking about two gods, it all begins to make sense, and then you can begin to understand so many of the motion pictures we have coming out of Hollywood, so many of the television programs that we watch on television, this idea that there really is another God, that there really is another dimension, that people actually can access that, but you do that at the risk of your eternal soul. Once you have these things in mind, certainly there are two things we have to do. Number one, we have to pray, because that is the only source of our strength and our protection. Number two, why you certainly then have to be involved in education. Right now, we have two political parties. They're exactly the same. Will we have an effective candidate running in 2 years for the presidency? I'm not sure we will. If we did, they would probably kill him. But what we need is an informed American population who really understands what this is about. And even though many people want to get discouraged, as I said, I've been at this for 44 years. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been, because things are going to have to get bad before there's any hope things are going to turn around. Can we save America? Not without God's intervention. We're certainly not by what we do, because we're involved in a spiritual battle, but we are to be on the front lines of educating people. If there are enough people here who are worthwhile, if we were to have a great awakening, a third great awakening, a third great revival as we had in 1730 and in 1830, why, we could save America. But it's a spiritual battle. If you look at it from a political point of view, why, of course, it is totally hopeless. If you look at it from a spiritual point of view and you realize it's God's battle, you have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we are just pawns in the game, and it is you're absolutely right. I mean, it is his battle, and we need to turn ourselves over towards God and ask for his redemption and to really involve ourselves in prayer. But also that does mean following up with action and staying vigilant and becoming informed, being the action.
Amen. Anything else, Jim? Jim, are you there?
Yes. As a Christian, what is my... because I haven't been a Christian too long, so there's a lot of things I'm still trying to learn. And what exactly is God's, as a Christian, what is our responsibility to the nations of the world? I mean, because we are a part of Christ's body, no matter what country we live in or what background we come from. And so, you know, there are Christians living in China and Christians in the Sudan and Christians in America and, you know, everywhere else. As a Christian, what is our responsibility to the nation state?
All right, what is your thought on that, Tom, and then I'll tell him.
To the nation state, the way I see is I think it's very easy to go down the path of where you see, obviously, like the Catholic Church has been infiltrated when it comes to the topic of illegal immigration. They certainly believe in having wide open borders. You know, pushing the Catholicism, you know, all across Latin America, and wanting to allow the infiltration of illegal immigration into this country, and if you just follow along with that approach, well then America will cease to exist. We will lose our sovereignty. We will lose our control in this country. And the way I see it is, if America goes, the rest of the world goes. I mean, obviously we are interlocked within this new world order, and the international global elite are sitting behind the scenes pulling the strings, you know, and dictating to our leaders on their personal level on what to do. But I think it's very important that we become informed and aware of this, and I see with if I may quote a scripture here from Romans 16:17-18, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who create dissensions and obstacles in opposition to teaching that you learned. Avoid them, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by fair and flattering speech they deserve the hearts of the innocent. And I think St. Paul's message there in Romans is very relevant to what's going on when you say, watch out for those who create dissensions and obstacles. And that is part of the New World Order mechanism right there at its heartbeat, is this left-leaning, Leninist, Marxist approach to create turmoil, class warfare amongst us, polarize us by race. And we need to watch out for that, as Jim, you know, took notice. There are Christians in China and in the Sudan, and those people are our brothers and sisters. But yet at the same time, we do need to look out for the people in this country and to create this sense of nationalism. We need to get back to a state of nationalism. That is where I see where we really, nationalism with a religious core base. And that's where we need to revert back to.
And I think that is really so important. Nationalism with a religious core base, because, of course, this country was unique and different of all countries of the world, Jim. America is the key to everything going on to the world. As America goes, so goes Christian civilization. Now, you
Absolutely.
Speak of the Christians in China. Why do they live under a ruthless tyranny? Because the establishment which controlled America's State Department in 1949 intentionally brought communism to China. They toppled the government of Chiang Kai-shek, which was really in control and had really won the Revolutionary War. We put an arms embargo on them so they couldn't buy weapons anywhere. We did everything we could to undermine them, and we brought the communists to power. Why does the government of the Sudan operate as, you know, and how is it able to survive? Why, very simply, they're getting tremendous amounts of money from China. Where does China get their money to develop Sudan's oil? PetroChina raised $5 billion on American financial markets so they could develop the oil in China so they could maintain this ruthless Islamic radical government in power in the Sudan.
Yes, absolutely.
Everything comes right back to the United States. That's why we have to be involved. And if you're concerned about Christians and persecution in other lands, remember that we are instrumental in most of these countries of supporting the ruthless and tyrannical governments that are oppressing the people. That's why America is the key. And that's why, Jim, you have to be involved with us. But the first thing, you have to be educated. It sounds like you have a pretty good education. Well, our job is to be like Paul Revere. We've got to be trying to reach people. We have to learn how to reach people. You do it by, not by telling them, but by asking them questions, by giving them audio tapes, by getting them videos, by getting them to question the things that they really believe. Find out what they're concerned about. Are they concerned about education? Are they concerned about their children? Are they concerned about finances? Are they concerned about globalization? Are they concerned about what's happening in the church? Find out what they're interested in and what button you can push to get their interest, and then start asking them questions and gradually lead them to an understanding of the things we talk about. But it's up to you, and believe me, all across America this is going on. The other side is frightened. That's why they've passed the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Act that gives them the ability to create a dictatorship. They've realized how many people are waking up. Your job is just to give them more to worry about.
And that's why I wrote this book, is from a viewpoint of, don't just tell me about it, but show me what is going on. And that's where I talk about various examples of demonstrating the New World Order being interwoven into our lives, and it's a call for action. I mean, I'm not a revolutionary. I mean, all I want to do is get people more informed and to create more of a sense of urgency, a sense of vigilance, and as opposed to just talking about it, it's to show me, will show me where you are coming from. What exactly is it that is going on? And you see it with obviously what you're talking about with China and, you know, the Federal Reserve and the 1980 Monetary Act, which allowed China to start borrowing various amounts, billions of dollars, through the conduits of an international monetary fund and the World Bank, to create money, and then started selling off weapons to various countries who are adversaries, such as Venezuela, Iran, Syria, and the Sudan. And, you know, this is a major part of the problem, what is going on today.
Well, well, may I ask one more question?
Right, just a moment.
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead. What's your question, Jim?
Okay, well, I have one more question. I'll take the answer off the air because my battery's running low on my cell phone.
All right.
Okay.
If you look at the so-called, Christian right, in the established, you see all these, you know what I mean when I say Christian right?
Right.
Yes.
There seems to be so many of our religious leaders that are just almost in bed with what I would call the enemies of America.
You're absolutely right. And it's unfortunate that some of them are good people, they just got bad advice, they've been given bad advice, their ministries have been infiltrated, and they've been neutralized. Hang on, I will be back in just a moment for you to...
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say, Jim? Jim, are you still there? I guess we lost Jim. Well, how would you respond to Jim's remark about certainly the Christian right being infiltrated here? What are your thoughts on that, Tom?
The Christian right, I'm not exactly sure. The Christian, is he talking about Christian right in the government?
He's talking about organizations like the Christian Coalition, a Traditional Values Foundation, there's so many of the conservative so-called Christian organizations that are out here. They keep doing the same thing over and over again, but they never address the real issue. I mean, yes, right, left, conservative, liberal, the Democrats are all bad, the Republicans are all good.
Right.
They support the president, support the war, support torture, because if we don't kill them, they're going to kill us. And what sort of Christian talk is that?
He sees them more as a pseudo-Christian coalition than pseudo-Christian movement. Yeah, I just would have to say on that just shows the deep interwoven mechanizations of the New World Order. I mean, it's not only infiltrated on at the surface, but it's gone down deep into various organizations that we would like to turn to for hope and inspiration. Yet it shows how connected they are to the leaders that are masterminding the New World Order, and it is just one huge facade.
Absolutely. In fact, if you go into the Project for the New American Century, you'll find that several of the most influential Christian leaders are part of the Project for the New American Century. The neocon movement, and they're acting as propagandists. They've targeted the Christian leaders of this country, and they're constantly barraging them with propaganda. I know, because I get it every day from them. I always want to know what the enemy is doing. And believe me, some of the leading Christians in this country that have been Christian leaders for many years are part of this whole movement that's got us involved in this war in Iraq and really wants to plunge us into World War III. And you say, that's crazy. Why would anybody want to do that? Because I personally believe that they really have a different worldview. They see nothing wrong with torture. They see nothing wrong with war. They see nothing wrong with going to war with the Muslim world and really trying to kill as many Muslims as we can. And they're doing everything they can to do today to engender hatred of the Muslims here in America. And over in the Islamic world, they're doing everything they can to get them to hate us, because that's the only way you're going to get a war going.
And right, you see it as part of the Rothschild formula, then, of creating an enemy in order to perpetuate the state of war.
That's absolutely what it's all about. You're right here. Well, Tom, we're out of time, but one more time. Why don't you get your telephone number out, and then we'll let you go.
My telephone number is 707-889-2434. And the book is available again for purchase over www.author.com.
God bless, and thanks very much, Tom. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. I really appreciate it, and it's been my pleasure.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you've enjoyed the program tonight. I think some very good points were made. And understand that we have no one to look to other than the Lord, but we are called to do our best. And I hope many of you will join us in this epic struggle. the struggle for the survival of Christian civilization and the souls of men. And our job is to reach as many people as we can. I get our caller tonight, Jim. He's a fairly new Christian. He's suddenly, as I did 44 years ago, found out about all these crazy organizations that are out there. And he found out about the secret societies, which took me, he's a lot faster than I was, took me 20 years to find out about these secret societies, because I was trapped in the conservative movement, which is telling me that communism is the enemy. Communism was financed from its very inception by these very people we're talking about, because they wanted an enemy. You need to get some of the books we carry, like my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Communist Revolution. You need to get The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, the book, the interview I have with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, to understand how we've created the Russian enemy, now we're creating the Chinese communist enemy, and of course we've created this whole terrorist enemy. If you haven't read the book, The Devil's Game, it goes into how American intelligence created the Islamic terrorist movement. You need to get this information. You know to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and read our pamphlets. We have a 3-pamphlet set called Foreknowledge 111. And it really tells you just about everything you need to know about what really happened that morning and who was responsible for it. And you're going to have to read the pamphlets. They're free and expensive pamphlets. We hope that you'll get that, and then you'll get the DVDs we have. 911 Mystery. 911 Press for the Truth. The Story of the Jersey Girls. Terror Storm. By Alex Jones. The 911, The Day That Changed America Forever, and of course In Plain Sight, all of these DVDs available from Radio Liberty, and they will give you the understanding that you need to know to realize that Building 7 came down. It was a controlled demolition, and if that's true, then everything else you've been told is a lie. And of course, if you want to know about the Al-Qaeda terrorist movement and why they haven't hit us for 5 years, let me suggest you go to the Foreign Affairs magazine, September, October. This is what they publish for the elite. Read the elite article. Why haven't they hit us again? And what's the conclusion? Al-Qaeda is pretty much of a fraud. That's what they tell the elitists. They don't want you to know that. After all, you wouldn't want to send your boys overseas to fight, you know, for freedom overseas if you really knew what the elitists were thinking. Or what Henry Kissinger said about how our military are simply stupid dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes. That comes from a book entitled The Final Days by Woodward and Bernstein. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with organized evil. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Pull down our newsletters. You're welcome to copy them and distribute them. Seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Quite frankly, we need your help to maintain the outreach that we have. I do not know of any organization that is going to tell you the truth about the spiritual aspect of the battle, about the fact that there really are organized satanic organizations out there intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you should be involved. Because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And so we ask, remind you again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.